or at least help you remember a bit. A couple weeks ago, Dr. Greg Gilbaugh, as he was preaching and teaching, he issued the call for us to be the church where we really stand on God's call. And we don't give any excuses for not doing that. Last week, Jason Blackley reminded us the importance that as we follow through on that call, we need to make sure that we are truly rooted in the identity of who we are in Jesus Christ. And where we're going today is that as we participate in that call, mission critical for us is that we need to be attentive, we need to be listening to God's voice. We need to make sure that we are paying attention to what He has to say and how we participate in this call and how we walk out this mission. Because you see, when we listen to Him and we're found to be attentive, there's some tremendous benefits that go along with that in the life of a believer. And consequently, when we're not listening to God, we're the ones that miss out in some significant ways. So today, we're going to be looking at some of those benefits and make sure that we indeed are being attentive, that you're truly listening to God's call and God's word in your life. Well, it's a little ironic that I'm actually preaching on this today because it wasn't too long ago. The last words that I heard in my head was the term and the phrase, "Are you even listening to me?" And somehow the words got further and further and further away, and my pillow became softer and softer around my head. And you see, the words that were spoken by my dear wife, Amy. And we had just finished having a very lively discussion. Actually, strike that. We were still in the midst of a lively discussion. You know what I'm saying? Those types of discussions where the emotions are high and the words are poignant. And to fall asleep at this time is just a bad thing. And even it was happening, it almost kind of, it felt like it was a rope I wanted to be on, but I was drifting, it was getting further away. And the next thing I remember was waking up in the morning. And I remember thinking, this is bad. This is bad. I was trying to remember exactly everything that happened. And the very fact that I woke up, I guess I was taking that as a plus at least. It's like, you know, she didn't need to leave me that option. You know, she really did. And I didn't actually have to be able to physically wake up the next day. And I think everyone would have been sympathetic for her husband falling asleep at this time. So in the morning as we were getting up and around, I just cautiously came to my dear wife and said, "Well, good morning." And she said, "What's good about it?" Just kidding, actually. She is gracious and kind and gives me so much more grace than I ever deserve. You know, we celebrate 20 years this June, and if she'll have me for another 20 and another 20 on top of that before she sends me home to Jesus, I'll be happy. And so actually she turned to me, and we both just started laughing, you know, because it's just like, it's an absurd time to be falling asleep. Of all the times that you should be paying attention, it was then, all right? And so now maybe many of you wives don't have to go through all the drudgery that my wife has to go through, and maybe your husband is not quite as sorry as I am on those things. And still, I came across this article the other day, though, that talked about some of the warning signs, if you will, of when your husband is not paying attention. So in the event that you're, again, your husband at least isn't as base as I am and falling asleep in the middle of an argument, I wanted to at least give you at least some warning signs here. So here they are, the top 10 indications, ladies, that your husband may not be listening to you, okay? So starting with number 10. You cannot see his face because of the newspaper or book or whatever he's holding up in front of you, okay? So you can't quite see that, so that's number 10. Number 9, you start to realize he's simply nodding and agreeing with you exactly every 2.4 seconds. Even the old trick of saying something like, "The guy said that the damage to the car shouldn't be that expensive to repair," really gets nothing but an empty stare and another nod. Number 8, he casually answers or makes a cell phone call while you're speaking to him. Occasion. His head is cocked to the side, and his eyes are kind of glazed over with that faraway look in them. His only indication that he's actually still alive is an occasional sigh. Number six, he's paying a lot of attention to the piece of lint on his sleeve, continually checking his watch and or looking out the window. Number five, suddenly he asks, are you talking to me? Or B says, blah, 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 blah. Or C begins doing that mocking cobra gesture with his hand, fingers talking as if he were wearing an invisible sock puppet, you know. Number four, you realize that he's had earbuds in his ear this entire time. He wasn't actually nodding and agreeing with you at all. He was just keeping time to the music. Number three, he turns the channel to the TV. You thought that intense gaze was meant that he was listening to what you were saying. Really, he was paying attention to the quarterback, the weather girl, and the water skiing squirrel on the screen. Number two, he gets up and walks away. Even the dog follows him out of the room. Or number one, and this is an indictment on me, says his snoring drowns out the best point that you were trying to make. Ouch. You know, wow. And the thing is, I think about that, and making the number one out of the 10, that's terrible. People who have really listened well, though, that I know in my life, I think of one person that actually immediately comes to my mind. And actually, that person is my mom. She always listened so attentively to my dad in terms of their relationship. You know, they're celebrating this coming June. Let's see, it's going to be 57 years this June. You know, I tell you what, as you get older, you know, I just turned 40 a little bit ago, and as you get older in your life, you know, you reassess sometimes all the heroes you had in your life. And all the heroes in my life, really, many of them turned out to be zeros. And the heroes that are closest, man, you look at the life track of like a couple like that. And I think about my mom especially and contrast her listening with the way that I tend to listen. And that she is always so attentive. She's always right there. And how she would listen to my dad was a long track record. Before they were even married, they tell this story. My dad had this whistle, right? It wasn't a whistle like you'd call a dog. It was some sort of special whistle that they kind of knew between them. And whenever my dad whistled, my mom would perk up. She knew he was right there. And when she could hear the whistle, she'd want to go, and she'd want to respond, and she wanted to be where he was. And so that whistle, even when they were courting, you know, he'd kind of show up in her dorm area, and the whistle would be there, and she'd want to be there. She'd want to be with him. She'd want to just be next to him. She'd want to go and be part of whatever he was doing. Now, I never got this ability. I think it skips a generation or something, you know. I whistle at my wife. I give her a cat call. I do all those things, but it doesn't have quite the same effect. But when my dad gave that whistle, my mom wanted to be there. She wanted to listen because, you see, she was paying attention to the relationship. She was paying attention, hearing, waiting for, anticipating getting the opportunity to be there with my dad. And as I think about that story, I think of another verse from the book of Zechariah in the Scriptures, chapter 10, verse 8. And this is God speaking, saying, I will whistle for them and gather them in, for I have redeemed them, and they shall be as many as they were before. Who's the them there? The them there are us. It are those who have anticipated and been listening and have responded to the call of the gospel. That we've been listening for God and that we have responded to his invitation. Are you still listening today? Are you still anticipating hearing his voice? Or having had heard him spoken, are you now sort of inattentive? Are you now no longer really listening for what God has to say to you next? You see, because when we're attentive to God and we're genuinely listening for and to his voice, there's some tremendous benefits that go with that. There's some tremendous pluses that we can begin to experience today in our life if we're attentive. If we're actually listening, and subsequently when we're not listening, there is tremendous loss. Tremendous loss. So are you listening to God? Are you listening for his voice? Are you attentive like that? Much more, can we all be a lot more like my mother and a lot less like me? Can I have an amen to that? Okay? Where we're listening, where we're attentive, where we're anticipating. God, I want to hear fresh from you today. I want to know what's on your heart. I want to know what's on your mind. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be so distracted or so full of myself or so inattentive that I'm just simply not hearing from you. I want to hear from you fresh today. I want to hear your voice. I want to know what you have to say. I want to respond to you. Are you attentive? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask that God would help us as we interact with this subject today. Father, as we get into this time, we pray your blessing. We ask, God, that you would help us, even if we've been inattentive, to be attentive now. Help us to see clearly the benefits from your word when we listen to you, when we're ready to respond to you in faith. I ask that you just would use this time in a strategic way for the betterment of your kingdom, for the growing up of your church, for the blessing of your saints. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, you ever have one of those weeks where you just feel old? You know, where it's just like, man, it's just been a week. I have had a week like that. You know, if you feel sick and you get sick, that's bad. You know, and if your wife, if she gets sick, well, that's worse. And if you got children and they get sick, well, that's terrible. But when it's all of you, you're just praying, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You know, because it's just like, man, this is just a bit thick. And that's sort of what my week was like this week. We were all kind of down with the crud that's going around, and it just, it wasn't pretty at all, you know. And it's in those weeks when you're feeling sick, you're feeling tired, man, you're just feeling old. You're just feeling like, you know, I'm not sure how much more this can really take. And we're going to be looking into the life of a person today who felt just like that. He wasn't sick, but he certainly was feeling old, and he had a reason for feeling old. He not only felt that way, he was that way. He was getting up there in age quite a bit. And we're going to, as we take a look at the snapshot of a person, we're going to get some life lessons from him and how he listened and how he was attentive. Now, the person that we're going to be talking about, here's a little quiz for you, all right? It's the person that is mentioned more times in the New Testament than any other person, okay? So the person that we're going to be talking about today is mentioned more times in the New Testament than any other person. Any ideas of who that may be? Any thoughts? If you think that through a little bit, some people might think that it might be Saint Simpson. By the way, we have these for sale. And for those of you who really thought that it is St. Simpson, we have a special group for you all your own. It's sort of where we put all the professional wrestling fans and Monster Truck Rally people all sort of in one section. So if you were thinking of St. Simpson, it's not St. Simpson. Any other ideas? The person that is mentioned in the New Testament more than anybody else. Any thoughts? Who might it be? Any ideas? Someone said Jesus. Actually, it's not Jesus. You know, sometimes people have a guess. They say, well, the Apostle Paul, you know, got a good name. I'll give you that. He definitely has a good name. And see if he'll say, you know, so how many people think it's the Apostle Paul? Any ideas? You know, we have this little game we like to play at Grace. We like to ask your opinion and make you hand up, hold up your hand. And then we say, no, how could you be so stupid as to think that? You know? You notice all the people that have been to Grace for a while say, I ain't raising my hand. I've been burned on this one many times before. I raise my hand and then I look like a fool. And so good for you not raising your hand. Well done. It is not the Apostle Paul. You know, I did think I heard someone say Abraham. And believe it or not, it is Abraham. People say, well, that's not fair. He's not a New Testament character. I know, but he's mentioned more in the New Testament than anybody else. Well, minus Moses when it talks about the law of Moses, but that doesn't really count. When you're talking about in terms of the person, it's Abraham. And people are often surprised at that, but you know, they really shouldn't be, because Abraham, he was the one person who was called to go. And just to go, Abraham, where I send you and where I direct you. And he was the person that God had promised that all the world would ultimately be blessed. And the scriptures say that Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's that same type of righteousness that's credited to us, to those who place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Not because we've done any good thing, not because we're any particular good person above another person, but because of our faith in what Jesus has done for us. That same type of faith expressed is credited to righteousness. And so there's a tremendous things that we can learn from Abraham, and we're going to today. As I said, Abraham, he just didn't feel old. The place where we pick up today, shucks, this guy, he was old. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead, we're going to look at Romans chapter 4. There's three verses we're looking at today in the fourth chapter. We're going to begin with verse 20. If you don't have your Bibles with you, we'll put some of the stuff up on the screen. We're going to begin with verse 20. We'll be going through verse 22 this morning. And if you happen to have your Bibles, you'll see kind of the precursor to this is where Abraham basically recognizes that his body, it's as good as dead, is what the scriptures say, because of his age of where he's at. This guy's pushing 100, and he's been promised to be the patriarchal man of faith, the one that God was going to use the entire world to be blessed through, and he doesn't even have any children yet. And so, and he's just feeling pretty old. And yet, in light of the promises, in not just in spite of his circumstances, okay, you hear that? Not just in spite of his circumstances, but almost because of them, recognizing he could do nothing to fulfill God's promises to him. Nothing whatsoever. And yet we pick up what his position was to the Lord. Let's read it in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, where it says, "No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God." He heard God's promise and he believed. He walked it out. In full realization that he couldn't do anything about it, Abraham believed and he trusted God. He didn't go into the situation ignorantly. He recognized, if you look at those verses right before, his body was as good as dead. He couldn't do anything about it, but he, in light of those things, still trusted him, that God was going to somehow bring his promises to bear. Are you listening like Abraham was truly listening to God? Because you see, circumstantially, Abraham took a look around, and there was no reason why Abraham could say, "Oh, this is all good. Oh, I see. I really see where God is working here." He couldn't see that. He could only go on the promises that were given to him to God, given to him by God. Are you listening like that? Are you attentive like that to God's promises in your life, despite whatever, or should I even say, in light of whatever you are experiencing circumstantially now? You see, because the scriptures make it very clear. It says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Are you listening to that? Are you attentive to that? Because don't confuse the thing. You could hear something and not really be listening, as was evidenced in my own life when I'm falling asleep and my wife's pouring out her heart, right? Okay, so you can hear things and not truly be listening. Are you listening today? All things work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Are you listening to that today? Are you responding to that truth today? Are you really hearing God and moving out on what he has to say in those things today? The scriptures say that you are the light of the world. God wants to use you in a profound way despite whatever limitations that you feel that you are presently experiencing. Are you listening today? Are you paying attention? Or are you allowing to simply hear the information but not really respond to it? You know, if we do that, here's the thing. There's people that have done that. You know, bring to mind when the 12 spies were sent out to take a look at the promised land that God had promised the Israelites that he was going to give them. Of the 12, 10 of them come back with a bad report. And they say, "There's no way we can do this. The circumstances are too difficult. There's too much enemy in the land. And it's just simply not going to happen." Or can you, through the power of the Holy Spirit today even, respond in the type of faith of the other two spies, of Caleb and Joshua, who said, "With God with us, we can surely do it. We can take the land." You know, years ago, there was this preacher who came across a person who had been in his congregation for a number of years before. And this fellow that he ran into, he knew that he's been really having a hard go of it, real hard go of it. In fact, this one guy, he had first really experienced some striking and shocking financial loss in his life. And if that wasn't bad enough, right after that, he had a terrible bout in his own health. So he was feeling horribly, doing terribly. And then right after that, some hurt and some other problems befell his family. And so this older pastor, as he was interacting with this guy, he knew these things and yet still really wanted to get to the guy's heart and help him to look to the Lord. And so he'd asked the guy, he said, "Listen, hey, you know, I know such and such has been going on. You're like, how are you doing with that?" And he responded, "Well, pastor, you know, under the circumstances," and he gave his answer. And so the preacher continued and said, "Well, you know, hey, what about this other area in your life? How are these things going?" And the gentleman explained the same way. He said, "Well, pastor, under the circumstances, here's what's going on." And so there's a third question that the pastor asked him, and the gentleman responded the exact same way. And he said, "Well, pastor, under the circumstances." And after that, the older pastor just stopped him and lovingly looked at him and said, "Dear friend, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Can I ask you something?" He said, well, sure, pastor." He said, "What exactly are you doing underneath the circumstances? What are you doing underneath the circumstances, Christian? You see, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's not that you're not going to have adversity." You're going to have adversity. It's not that you're not going to have trouble. It's not that you're going to not have heartache. You're going to have all those things sometimes in spades. Except what God has given you in the power of the Holy Spirit is for your ability to live above those circumstances, not under those circumstances. They don't need to dictate your life. They don't need to dictate your joy. They don't need to dictate the quality or lack thereof of your family life. God's power is what dictates those things. So are you under the circumstances recently? Well, then I'm going to ask you, are you truly listening? Are you truly being attentive to the authority and the call of the Master's voice? Are you attentive? You see, because God has promised us that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. God has promised us that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, none of these things can separate us from Him. You see, when you listen to God, one of the benefits you have is a deeper intimacy with Him. Is a deeper intimacy with Him. The scriptures say, "My sheep know my voice," Jesus speaking. "I know them and they follow me." May I remind you, when you come to the place when you open your Bible, and I hope you're doing that regularly, but when you do that, you're not meeting a discipline. You're not doing a spiritual practice of holiness. You're meeting a person. You're meeting the person Jesus Christ. It says in John 17:17, "Your word is truth." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth." When you open up your scriptures and turn the sacred page, you meet the Lord. And God wants to meet you in the midst of your difficulty. Are you listening, though? Are you attentive? Why don't we listen? Why don't we be attentive? I think sometimes one of the reasons is, it's not the fact that, as this picture demonstrates, that we're not in a hard situation. What you see in the pic here, there's this little lamb that's been caught up in a kind of torrent, maybe a flash flood or something. And you have the good shepherds, in this case, who are going after that lamb and pulling them out. You know, so it's not that we don't recognize the fact that the circumstance is difficult. It's not that we don't recognize that it wouldn't be great for the shepherd to pick us up, take us in his arms, because as his sheep, that's what we need. But why don't we listen? Well, it's because many times we don't really trust what the shepherd's intents are. We know that perhaps he may have, in fact, a crook in one arm where he's ready to help us and get us. But we also sometimes, I believe, think that he also has a can of mint jelly in the next arm where he's going to take us home and grill us up something fine. You know, and then he's going to slather the mint jelly on us, and we're not going to get to do the things that we really want to do because we don't trust the good shepherd's intent. We believe that the shepherd, sure, he's rescued us. He's pulled us out of the drink. Yeah, we have, but we're not really going to stay listening to him. Oh, thank you for the past rescue, Shepherd Jesus. But I don't really trust what you have in mind next. You know, I know you got that shepherd's crook, but I think you got the can of mint jelly too. And you're just ready to kind of serve me up. We don't listen. And therefore, we don't really be attentive to his voice today. But I encourage you to go back to the source of what the scriptures really say concerning the good shepherd and his intention for you. Because we tend to doubt quickly. And the enemy's tactics, as old as this earth itself, is that he's always going to try to bring into question God's word, God's goodness, and his intentions for you. Always. Hear his voice afresh. Today, purpose to follow the voice of the shepherd. To be attentive to him. To listen to him. There's tremendous benefits. It starts off with a deeper intimacy. You don't want to miss this. Let's watch this. When we follow the shepherd, when we are attentive to his voice, he leads us to green pastures. He takes us to a place from where we are to the place where he wants us to be. And one day he leads us out of this old rickety world. And so are you listening? Are you attentive to his voice today? Are you experiencing that deeper intimacy that he desires to have with you today? Let's go on here in Romans chapter 4. On the second half of verse 20, it tells us, no distrust him, made waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Now, what's great about this verse, it tells not just what did not happen, but what did happen. He grew stronger in his faith. You know, evidence that we're trying to listen to obey and truly follow the voice of the shepherd is the action that accompanies it, okay? It's the action that accompanies it, action that ultimately glorifies God. What we value shows really, are we listening? Do we value the things that he truly values? Are those things that are really deeply on his heart, are the things that he holds lightly, do we hold them lightly? And the things, conversely, that he holds weighty, do we, in fact, hold weighty as well? You see, when Jesus wanted us to understand the things that truly were on God's heart, he would tell us often things in parables. And if he told them in succession, it was always an indication, hey, listen to this. Pay attention to this one. Because this is important. He doesn't want you to miss this. And some of you may remember this from as we were in our series, Following Jesus One Step at a Time, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Jesus repeated three different parables, all with the same focus and the same intent. He wanted us to make sure we truly understood the things that were dear and near to the heart of God, that we were really paying attention to what he was listening, what he was saying, what needed to be on our own hearts as well. And so in Luke chapter 15, he tells a series of three parables. He talks first about the lost sheep, and he goes on to talk about the lost coin, and then he talks about the lost son. All things which were lost, which were being sought to be regained. First off, when he talks about the lost sheep, he says, listen, the good shepherd, he leaves the 99 sheep on the hill to go after the one that has wandered off. And the one that is not where he's supposed to be. And the shepherd goes after that which was lost and is willing to risk all in order to get the one back. He goes on to talk about the lost coin. You remember the story? The story, it's a woman who's kept house, and she has one coin which is of incredibly great worth to her, and she loses it. She misplaces it. And so what the scriptures say is that woman stops everything she's doing. She stops it all. She says, nothing else is worth right now the fact that this coin of great value is missing, so I'm stopping everything else I'm doing, and I intend are going to put my energy, my focus, my everything I've got to finding this one coin. So she sweeps house, and she scours the house to look for the one thing that was of such great value to her. And God is asking us to do the same. To be after the things that are on his heart. To pursue that which is his, which is lost, which has great value to him. And it demands a change in our schedules. It demands a change in what we hold to as important or valuable. God says, please, keep the things that are important and valuable to me, valuable and important on your heart. Be willing to adjust and change things as necessary. Because the thing that really matters to me is lost. And I really want it back. And this is point of the story of the prodigal son as well. The lost son. Actually, it's a story more aptly could be called the prodigal God, because that father does whatever it takes, looks consistently down the road to look for the boy who's gone off completely undeservedly and yet comes back, and the father spends it all to throw him a party. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, listen, the thing that is lost has such great value to me that it demands my focus. It demands my attention. I'm willing to move heaven and earth in order to bring back that which was lost to me again. And until you've lost something of great value and then you're seeking to find it again, you almost can't really understand. But all of us can look at a point in our life where we've lost something, even if it was trivial, even if it was small, where we said, listen, I'm going to stop everything and I'm going to find this because this really matters. And I remember in the dynamic of a human relationship when this first really dropped for me was in 1998 when I had my first little girl. Unbelievable. God's now given me three of these little girls and two boys. But when I had this first little girl and brought her home, and there she was, just this little thing, just 6 pounds. You know, and now this 6 pound little girl, she's the one that's made this multimedia stuff for you today. But she was 6 pounds once. She's not 6 pounds anymore, but she was 6 pounds once. and brought her home and had this little thing. And I remember she never, ever stopped crying, like ever. And so remember when we'd bring her, oftentimes just from weary as first-time parents, we'd bring her into the bed with us, and usually we'd fall asleep from exhaustion and had that little six-pound girl in that bed. And the first thing that would come into my mind when my eyes open, first thing I'd think, where's my little girl? Where is she? And I would toss out blankets and pillows and Amy and whatever is needed. Oh, there she is. She's not, and she's right there. Look at her. She's breathing. She's okay, you know. She's okay. And you know, and several families actually in our church have walked through the heartbreaking situation of actually losing a child and the difficulty in that. And the only thing even close or circumstantially I walked in to that was years later, as she was a toddler, we were in Chicago for a weekend, and we were at a large hotel, and long story, but she was in asleep with her mom, and I was gone, and then somehow she had figured how to get herself out of that room, and she was gone. Come back, couldn't find her. Where is she? Where's my girl? I want to talk about time that just stops in a few moments. Say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to find what is mine right now. Nothing else matters. Everything can stop because this is what matters right now. That which is mine is lost, and I've got to find her. And that's what God the Father is saying here in Luke 15. He's saying, listen, rearrange your life if you need to. Stop what you're doing. Stop with the lesser things. Don't waste your time and don't waste your life. Because right now what is important is that you've got to have on your heart the things that are on my heart. Don't waste the opportunity. Please. That which is lost is gone. It's mine. I want it back. That's what God the Father is saying. Are you listening? Are you attentive to that? Or are you so consumed with your own life and your own problems and your own circumstances that you are under, you are not listening any longer to the things that are on the heart of God? And when you're not listening to the things that are on the heart of God, you miss out. You miss out. You see, because Luke chapter 15 goes on and says in verse 10, it says, just so I tell you, there is joy before angels God over one sinner who repents. There is joy to be had when we participate with God's kingdom building program. There is joy to be found when we really have our attention and our energy and our rapt attention following the things that are on His heart. Because just like the angels experience the joy of being a part, we actually get to be the conduit to those things that are on His heart. And when we're not paying attention, when we're caught up with our small problems and our little difficulties, then we are missing out because we're not attentive. We're not really listening. And we're missing out. We are missing out. You see, when you listen to God, another of the benefits you have is a focused life. It's a focused life. You not only get to experience deeper intimacy with your Heavenly Father, you get to have your life focused up on the things that really matter. And you're going to experience joy in the process. You're going to experience all the things that Galatians 5 promises a believer in Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Is your life consumed with those things right now? If not, I submit to you, you're not paying attention and you are not listening. Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is your God-given right in Christ Jesus. Are you listening? Are you paying attention? You see, everyone wants a focused life. No one wants to be the guy who did nothing, who was remembered for nothing. No one sets out to have that goal, but consider many of us attain that goal. In fact, I came across from a friend who was sharing at another seminar a little while ago this particular news article, which was run by the Associated Press a little over 2.5 years ago. This is just a little clip. You're not going to be able to read it. I'll read it to you. But a little over 2.5 years ago, the Associated Press picked up a story about a father-son relationship that was really worth retelling. And it's quite sad, but it's definitely one of a tale of a life that's not focused up. And it's one of a life that's stunted. Let me just read a few things to you. It says, apparently, there was a son that was so angry with his father, who had ordered him to clean up his room, that he screamed at dad, and he threw a plate of food across the dinner table. Dad reacted. He promptly called 911. And you say, oh, that is sad. Yeah, it actually gets worse. The son is actually 28-year-old Andrew Mizak, who lives rent-free with his parents in the Cleveland suburb of Bedford, Ohio, and is a member of the Bedford School Board. And his mom is actually a city councilwoman, according to the article. After the police arrived, the habitually untidy son apologized, and according to the report, was sent to his room to clean it. In that time, he was crying uncontrollably. Subsequently, for the embarrassment, the school board punished Andrew by removing two of his duties. I followed this up with another article later online, which he attended the sessions, and he voted no, that he should not be punished accordingly. They overruled his wishes. Is your life lacking focus? Are you not growing up spiritually? Are you not maturing because you're simply not listening? You're not paying attention. You may not be a 28-year-old living in your parents' basement yet, but the fact is you could be headed very well in terms of that direction. Are you listening? Are you attentive to what God is saying to you? In repentance, in rest is your salvation. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 says, in quietness and in trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. Are you listening to God? Are you attentive? Are you responding obediently to his word? Are you growing in your faith, having started with Jesus? Or are you remaining stunted and immature? Last verse today we're looking at in Romans chapter 4, verse 21, next to last rather, says that Abraham, he was fully convinced what God was able to do and what he promised. Well, what does God do? Well, exactly what God promises, to give us life and to give us power. C.S. Lewis said this, author and theologian, said, if you read history, you will find that Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. Colossians chapter 3 in the ESV says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. The NIV renders the same verse, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. If you use the term seek or set, the idea there from the Greek is the word zeteo, where you're to seek, to look for, to search after, to endeavor to obtain. Now, this speaks of focus, but even more than that, it speaks of the will to obtain what God has for you in Christ Jesus, where you're ready to receive what God is doing based on his word. I think of something that really illustrated this truth at least years ago. I remember when we just had the two girls still, and my wife and I were beginning to have the conversation with them. They said, well, what if we maybe started adding to our family? You know, should we start praying about that? And the girls were so young, we didn't really seem that they took in the conversation too much, at least what we thought, until later that night when we were putting them to bed. The only thing that happened was that at the time our oldest girl simply had a prayer. She said, and dear God, I just want to say thank you for my little brother. Amen. And well, what do you know? She received that answer to that prayer. Now, I think she sometimes rescinded that prayer on occasion, but it was answered in a very childlike faith of just thanking God. Now listen, like that, God wants to fulfill every good purpose in your life prompted by your faith, Not just whatever you want, all right? I'm not saying that. But based on the bedrock of who God is, what he's done, and who we are in Christ. What's on God's heart? What we know clearly from Scripture, praying, responding with that sort of resolved faith, where we thank him in advance for what he's doing. Are you dreaming the things that are on God's heart? Are you consumed with those things? Or are you content to dream 1,000 lesser dreams that just center around yourself, your own comfort, and your own convenience? Or are you instead dreaming the dreams that are on God's heart, thanking him in advance for what he's going to do in answering those things? You see, every Christian is genuinely made new, but not every Christian really is the fountain of blessing that God has called them to be. God said, for those that follow him, streams of living water will come from within you. God wants to use you in a strategic way to have that sort of refreshment come from your life. But it can't be had. It can't be had unless you're truly attentive to his voice, unless you're really listening, unless you're really paying attention. You see, when you listen to God, another one of the benefits that you truly have is heavenly power. It's a heavenly power, the power to accomplish what's really on his heart. Are you seeing that power in your life on an individual basis? I think of just recently some of the ways that we're seeing God's power corporately. We've been praying and asking God for years to raise up leaders from this church for the kingdom and his glory, and we're seeing it. We've been praying that God would multiply us as influence as a church for his glory, and we're seeing it happen. Up recently, our house church had been praying that God would bring those who are dead to life spiritually. We are seeing those happen. We're seeing people take that supernatural step which requires a work of God, his spirit, his power to make it happen. I remember not too long ago speaking with a couple just in the past several weeks who really has had no desire, no interest in church whatsoever. And they said, listen, just wondering if it would be okay for us to come to your church sometime. That's the power of God at work. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to God? Are you attentive so that you can participate in the things that are on his heart? As we close up, it says in chapter 4, verse 22, that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham's faith wasn't just simply faith in faith. It was listening to the God of the Bible and responding accordingly to him. You see, when we're attentive, there's some tremendous benefits. There's a deeper intimacy that we get to experience. There's the power of a focused life. And we experience his heavenly power in a unique and powerful way. Are you experiencing those things today? Two applications here. Number one. If you're somewhat new here to Grace, and this has been one of your first few times here, I just want to say this to you. If you're here and you're kind of processing some of these things for the first time, I understand it's a lot to kind of wrap your head around. But if you're processing some of these things and you're thinking it through, listen, I just want to tell you a couple things. Number one, you're not as bad as you think you are. You're actually much worse, okay? You're actually much worse. Jesus isn't meant to be your crutch to help you limp into heaven. Jesus is your stretcher to take you there because you can't make it yourself, okay? And we want you to be able to experience that because the good news is God sent his son Jesus so that we might be extended mercy, we might receive that, and that he can reconcile you to himself. So that opportunity, on the other hand, is fully awake and available today to you. And I would encourage you to take it. Or all of us here, if we have started off in that mission that God has entrusted us with, and we've been walking out that identity, we say who we are in Jesus. Well, the call today is to make sure that you are listening to obey. Because when you do that, you will have intimacy with God. You will have focus in your life, and you will have the power that goes with it. And if you have not been listening, today is your day to turn that around. Today. And so that's why I want to give a word of caution. There's a great temptation here. We hear some of these things. God stirs our heart a little bit. If you find yourself in one of those two camps, then I would really encourage you to make today the day where you respond and do something with the things that God has revealed to you. Don't waste the day. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't purpose that you'll do it another time and another point in a place when it's more convenient. Make today your day. If today you understand the first group of people that I referenced, that you're a lost sinner in need of Jesus, make today the day that you receive him. If today the day that you have received Jesus, but you know you haven't been listening, make today the day where you purpose that changes, starting today, starting now. You see, the scriptures say that we need to be careful when we hear something and then just move on thinking we'll just purpose to deal with it later. In fact, the scriptures make it very plain. It says, the one who hardens their heart falls into trouble. In other words, when we say, yeah, I know, but later. Today is the day, so don't miss it. And so to those ends, here's the challenge. If you find yourself in one of those two categories, here's, I'm going to give you a couple ways that you can follow up on this. Number one, if as Jason mentioned at the beginning, if you want to talk with someone in the back area there, right underneath the big window, there's a spot where you can get a chance to talk with some folks. They'll have some red lanyards on. Encourage you to do that. Encourage you to do that. Number two, if you just need to be quiet before the Lord and purpose to do that, spend a little time in your seat. No one's going to kick you out, at least for another 30 minutes. And spend some time dealing with that with him in your own heart. Or three, maybe you want to just come up here in front of the platform and just pray quietly. You may do that as we exit as well. But I would encourage you to respond if God has done something in your heart today on these things. Okay? I'm going to pray, and then you're dismissed. Father, help us to be attentive to your voice. Thank you for your word. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. We ask, God, that you would give us the grace to follow you, to obey you, to heed your voice. We want that deeper intimacy with you. We want a focused life. We want to experience, Lord, that heavenly power. So we pray, Lord, you'd help us to do so. We commit it all to you and commit ourselves to you as our church, your church, to do your work in this world in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.